If I could get that second slide deck there, second bus ministry slide deck.
That would be awesome. It's like whatever, beyond bus ministry beyond or something. Yeah. Beyond the basics. Yes. Okay. So this session is Bus Ministry Beyond the Basics. If you are not here for Bus Ministry Beyond the Basics, there are two other options for you right now. You can either head into the games session, which looks like an absolute blast out there in the cafe, or you can head into getting your puppet on over in the prayer room. So if you don't move in the next minute, you must be in the right place. So with that, if you missed the first session, what I hear is these are going to be recorded, so maybe you'll be able to get to check them out. I did mention that I was going to give out checklists, so you can get your checklist. I'll also have it on a table at lunch so people can grab them as well for the starting out checklist. But with this one, this is going to be a lot of different ideas. I have no checklist or anything for you. Take what you like from it. And I want to open it up, a lot of it, really, for Q&A at the end. I didn't get to really do a lot of that last session, so we can spend more time and just talk about stuff, solve stuff. All right. So starting out, let's start with prayer. Jesus, thank you, God, for this time we have together, Lord. Bless it to be profitable for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, touch our minds. Have your way. In Jesus' name. All right, so I want to talk about some things beyond the basics. So this is something where, you know, you're like past year one, perhaps, and these are some considerations. How do you keep it going? How do you keep everybody motivated? What are some things to think about? So I just want to share some stuff from my experience. So, you know, here's the focus, right? I would challenge you that the focus is kids are being consistently followed up with, and the data is well organized. Because after a little while, you could have a lot of information. There's all these kids that you found over time. Literally, we have names of hundreds of kids. You know, at one point, I remember looking at all the information. It's like, okay, there's 600 kids here. We don't have 600 kids coming on campus. How many moved? How many are still here? How many just don't want to come anymore, right? Like, some kids show up one time, and they only show up once a year for big events, right? And they're not, they just don't feel like that's their thing, right? And you need to be able to eventually separate that type of stuff and figure out how do you focus. The game becomes focus. Also, another thing to think about is focusing on, is our team spiritually healthy, right? So I'm going to show you kind of what we do on our side of the house. And also a focus is that there is clear accountability and coaching, because as your team grows, you may add some new people, and you want to keep things consistent and make it so that there's ways to figure, hey, how do I know who to coach and what to do, right? So I'm going to talk to you about some of that stuff. And then we're just going to talk about some fun ideas. How do you keep it fresh, right? I mentioned it for those of you that were in session one, that it's easy to get street fatigue. I call it street fatigue, where you're like, but brother, I knocked every door. Really, I know all the houses. There's no more. There's nothing to be had here, right? And it just blows my mind. I'm like, okay, hold on. Let's get into the car, and I'm going to drive down the street with you, and you tell me that there's no more families here? Impossible, right? But it's street fatigue. You convince yourself of that, right? So how do you keep it fresh? Okay, organizing the data. I'm going to give you some ideas here, right? So maybe you first start out, and there is no routes. Everything is a route. But you get more sophisticated over time, and you split up, and you have routes. And then under your routes, you have streets, right? So you might have four different groupings of streets under one route captain. And then you have captains that either report up to the person that's in charge of the whole thing or a bus director or however you want to organize it as you perhaps gain levels of sophistication with it, right? So with your street groupings, the reason you want to do this is in your attendance, you want to have a way to be able to figure out how are these teams doing, right? It's not so you can, like, be you know, ruling with an iron fist, right? It's like, I demand growth, you know, like you've been at three for these many weeks. The conversation should really be around, what's happening? Do you believe there's more, right? And how do we solve that? What do you think we should do? Like, do we need to do some type of promo on your street? It's a quick way, because what you find is your territory starts to really expand. There's so much data to look at, right? Like, data becomes the problem, right? And I'm going to talk about that after. First, I want to give you some ways to handle the data, and then I want to give you some checks to make sure that data is not the only thing you're thinking about, right? That, again, back to the help point, it has to stay spiritual. But the data is a way to help us focus, right? So organize by routes, by streets, and then the way I do it with my team is I have these ZZZ groups, right? So route one, ZZZ, route two, ZZZ, route three, ZZZ, right? And the way I populate it is if a kid hasn't come at all in 3 months, I'm going to put them into there for now, right? And it tells me one of two things. One, they're either really not interested, or two, there wasn't chemistry somehow with that street team and that kid, right? And I'm going to come back to it, right? And I'm going to find some other way. So I'm going to talk about ways that you can get other people involved to try to see if we can pull these kids back in, right? But logically, here's what happens, okay? Like, you'll start to have a list that grows and grows and grows and grows, right? Think about any big apartment complex, a couple streets. You start to just have a ton of names. And the challenge is, like, people are like, well, do I follow up with every single one of these kids, like, every week, all the time? And so we want to make it clear so that they're looking at it, they're like, okay, I know that most of these kids really should be showing up, right? And that's how you do it. You separate the ones that have stopped coming for a while into ZZZ, so the list that they're working off of is something that should be pretty accurate. It's like, these kids came within the last 3 months, so chances are they're still pretty interested, right? Focus. Focus is the name of the game. The last group that I would recommend is make a grouping in whatever, Excel or a system, database, or whatever, however you want to do it, on paper. It's just called Moved, right? And anybody that's moved off of your streets, put them there, take them off the other lists, they're gone, right? They might come back, and that happens. People move back into our neighborhoods, but they're gone. Like, what I want to do is help you stay focused, because that's the name of the game once you get to this level. Keeping the team healthy. So I've got this thing, and, you know, if you guys want copies, I can send you guys copies, or I'll post something on Next Level Kidmin as well, so you guys can get a copy of this stuff if you want. But basically, the idea is it's a check sheet, right? And the items on the check sheet, if you could read it, say, pray for your street and your one kid. Read a certain chapter of the Bible, right? Pray half an hour. And then there's another one that says specifically, pray in tongues. and then there's bring your binder. And the last one is show up on time, right, at the specific times. So what am I trying to do here? The whole idea is that all the checks should be had every single week. And we do contests. Like, you know, it's like if whichever team has the most checks, you know, we'll give them a mini pizza party, right? Buy them a pizza, they get to celebrate. We do that once in a while, and other times we're just doing it so that they just should know, hey, like, all the checks should be there. But here's why I chose these things. You, in your ministries, might choose different boxes for people to check, but I want to share with you my reasoning, right? I want to know that my team is reading their Bible. I want to know, hopefully, that they're reading similar things together in a spirit of unity, right? Like, so oftentimes, it's like, people be like, well, I read a chapter. I'm like, well, did you read that chapter? And here's why, right? Like, it's like, I want us to all go through the book of Acts together, right? And talk about it. It's like, well, how did the book of Acts people get what they got? And if we're them today, well, how do we make sure we do what they did, right? And so, like, you know, different things like that, we'll go through Timothy together or other things like that. And, like, you know, like, I try to think through what do I want them to be reading and how do I want them to do it together, right? The other thing is, I think I mentioned it before, but it's really important if you're in charge that you don't let prayer times just be kind of quaint, right? I'll be straight up with you, right? There's times, sounds like they're having an awesome time right now with those games. I'm so jealous. There's times, right, where people are praying and I'm not sure if they're praying or they're sleeping. Can I just be real, right? And if you're in charge of your bus ministry, not acceptable, right? Make it in your spirit that that's not acceptable to you. Right, so I don't want to have to deal with that on Saturday before outreach. I want them to be dealing with it all week long. Man, now if you're going to check that box and you're going to lie and you're not actually going to pray through every single day, it ain't worth it. Why are you checking that box, right? But like really, like challenging each other, and I use it as a tool so the team is asking each other, hey, how did you do this week? Right, the captains are asking their members, how did you do this week? Let's look at these checks together. What I've said to the captains is, don't just ask them how many checks they got. Look at the boxes and ask them what they're struggling with, right? Is it that you really didn't pray enough this week? Then, you know, what do you solve the problem, right? Like, we want powerful saints working in these ministry. You, as a saint working in this ministry, you want to be powerful so that you are truly ministering. You are in a place spiritually to be able to minister, right? So, a saying I say is we want to make sure that everybody's prayed through, and then when they're prayed through, that they stay through, right? So this is kind of that insurance, so to speak, to just be a gauge. It's like, you know, how are you doing, right? Be honest, right? So that's just another tool. Is your team focused? Is your team praying? And is your team coming equipped? All right, that's something else that kind of happens. Some bad habits sometimes form here and there. Where it's like they show up and they're just like, I'm here and I'm ready for the streets. Where's your binder? Crickets, right? Where's your cards to be able to give to somebody if they're interested? Crickets. Where's consent forms if you want to get new kids? Crickets. All right, next week. Okay, let somebody get him some papers. Somebody get some other stuff. Just equip this guy. Next week, bring your binder, man, right? You want to make sure that everybody comes geared so that they know, hey, when we're here on Saturday, we are ready to go, right? So that's another checkbox that I put in there. It's like, hey, you know, like if it's constantly not being checked, that we talk about it. Because here's a really funny thing. Sometimes it's simply because the bus captain never made them a binder. You know, it's like, hey, man, why don't you have a binder? Well, my bus captain never made me one. Well, why didn't you guys talk about it? I don't know. We didn't talk about it. I'm like, well, we're talking about it now. Hey, can somebody get this guy a binder? Right? You know, like, this is a tool to force conversation, right? So the bigger your team gets, the more you need tools to force conversation because there's only so much of you to go around, right? You know, like, it's like you want these conversations to be happening to problem solve. Right, so I want to give you tools so you can scale. So whether you're talking about you've got a team of 3 or 4 people, this is still going to help you. You got a team of 30 people, this is really going to help you, right? So that's some of what I want to get into your thinking. The other thing is accountability and congrats, right? Like I said, the numbers can be used for a couple things. It's purely to help us focus. You know, the idea is, I want to know, if you could see the stats on here, what's actually there in that last column is who had the newest high. Like, it's like, that's the highest that street has had in a very long time, right? I want them to know we're excited about that, right? I want routes, when a route gets a new high, that we know and we tell, hey, like, that's awesome. You know, let's make a big deal out of it. Something I do once in a while, my own fault, I'm like all over the place sometimes on Sunday morning, and I'm not consistent, but I got this little like blue monster guy, and so whichever street group brought the most new kids that morning, they get the Blue Bomber Beast Mode Award, right? So like, you know, like they get to get their picture taken with the Beast Mode thing, you know, and stuff like that. Funny, silly things. How can you like really just recognize people, right? Use the data for that too, right? Because it's easy on the flip side to use it as a hammer, right? And be like, why are we not growing, right? And there needs to be some of those conversations where some of it's just unblocking mindset, right? Everybody gets that way. Everybody gets that way. Where you're just like, you know, like you get into a mental ceiling. You're like, I don't think this can grow any further. And that's where we start to employ some other things. But first, you know, just stopping here for a quick second. The things I want to point out to you is you want to be able to have ways to know who's doing a good job, right? Because you want to be able to continue to recognize effort, you know, and fruit. And be like, hey, like, this is awesome, right? Like, we want to be able to protect ourselves from monotony, right? Okay, we're here. Okay, you guys know what to do. Hit the streets. God bless you. Right? There's got to be some fresh stuff here and there, right? This is one of those things where you want people to feel good about what they're doing. As the team grows, let's talk just logistical stuff, all right? As you get captains, as you start to grow to the point where you might have captains, for me, I meet with my captains monthly, and then I have my captains meet with their teams monthly, right? Why? Why bother? Who likes meetings? Here's my answer to that. The reason for that is you need to be able to have a pulse on how everybody's doing. You know, I try to instill in my captains a mindset that they got to really care for their team. And if somebody needs something, there's no way for me to know all of it, right? And by the time I find out, chances are it's too late. Right, so you need to have regular checkpoints somehow to make sure that everybody's doing good, staying motivated, and also getting the help that they need. Here's another tip that I'm going to give you. With the way that you're doing outreach, you know, I recommend, like, my captains, they'll have at most like three different street groupings under them, three, maybe four. And so, hey, there's no more than 4 weeks in a month typically, right? Maybe five at most. They're every single week, like, rotating, right? I'll hit this street, and I'll coach, and I'll find out how they're doing, and stuff like that. It's funny. You being in charge, sometimes that's all the difference in the world, right? When you're like, come on, we can do this, and you just start knocking doors, right? Because the funny thing is, if that's not always your street, how many people ever had the effect where it's like, it's so much easier to clean somebody else's house? You're like, I'm doing dishes, I am mopping your floor, I feel like a hero, right? You feel so great. And you're like, I am helping society, right? And you just feel so good about yourself, right? Because it's not yours, right? That's the funny effect about that, right? So as a captain, you have the ability to always be able to go out and it's like, this is not my floor, da-da-da. And you're just like knocking and you're like a superhero, just like knocking door after door. I'm taking down this entire street and I've just found five kids and stuff like that. Because it's fresh, right? It's fresh. That's fresh too. Yeah, right? So that's kind of the thing that I want you guys to think about. How to keep it fresh, right? When you start to get to a place where it's growing, the tough part is maintaining and continuing to grow. That's where it gets hard, right? So let's talk about how to bust through some of those things. So I would say, you know, like, think about a structure that makes it so that the team is cared for, right? That everybody knows what they need and that we're aware of that. Fighting street fatigue. So let's talk about fighting street fatigue. Every so often, you know, you could do some things like having routes swap with each other, right? You know, like hand the list and just have them knock somebody else's streets. Right, and maybe they do follow-up with their own streets, and then they get that done really quick, and everybody just spends a little extra time, and you swap, like, route 1 and 4 this week, you're going to just, like, do crazy outreach and bring back any forms you get for 4 and vice versa. Go, right? Another one is you might have the entire group storm an area. All routes are going to hit route 1 this week, and we're going to hit a certain complex or a certain street, and we're going to take these buildings and just knock every single one of them. Let's just go nuts and do it, right? That works too. What are things that you can do to just kind of shake it up a little bit, right? Have regular events and freebies. So we've talked about some things like Hot Cheetos, Takis. You know, another one that's great is those Otter Pops. man, you can get like a huge box of Otter Pops for so cheap, and they are awesome in the summer, right? Otter Pops, if you can raise the money, get a cotton candy machine. It is so awesome. Like, we're just straight up making cotton candy on the street, right? So another thing I'll point out to you so you can learn from my mistakes. I announced, we're going to have cotton candy on the street. And then, I told somebody else to handle the generators and stuff like that. We're rolling out. It's on a truck. And then I see their generator is basically a little battery backup thing to start a car. And I plug it into there and I'm reading it's 30 watts or something, right? And this is asking for 300 watts or something ridiculous like that. And then I'm yeah. And kids are staring, they're waiting. Yeah. Right? And the stress, it's oh no, these kids are gonna mob me, right? So we scrambled quick. We're making phone calls, find people that will let us plug into their house. Go, everyone, right? People texting and stuff like that. We scrambled on our feet. We're literally plugging into people's houses with extension cords. And so it was beautiful. And we're just twirling cotton candy. Here you go, here you go. Kids are just coming out of the woodwork, right? What can you do that's kind of like crazy like that to shift it up, right? Think about that type of stuff. I would say the floss, the sugar, and the actual cotton candy wands are super cheap after you buy the machine. You'd be shocked, right? So it's a really good investment. Another good investment is a jumper. A jumper. My word! Right? You find a jumper. Dude, think about it. These kids in the neighborhoods, how often do they jump on jumpers? Unless they have a lot of friends with birthday parties all the time. No way! These kids yeah, we jump on jumpers every week, right? Our kids are the coolest. Our kids are the coolest in the neighborhood, right? They get to be on a jumper every single week. All the other kids, it's only when they go to a birthday party, if they're invited, right? How do you do that stuff, right? If you get a big generator, you can drop it on the street too sometimes, right? Drop it on the street with a grill. Boom! instant outreach, right? Do things once in a while to shake it up, right? Because the real challenge after year one is how do you keep it fresh, right? So I would say cotton candy, awesome investment. Jumpers, awesome investment. Next investment I would recommend, potentially, snow cone machine. Those suckers are cool. Those things are cool, right? I would say if I had to pick between a snow cone machine and cotton candy machine, I go with the cotton candy machine, just saying. A lot more all year round value, anytime is a good time for cotton candy. So thoughts. But secondary to that, snow cone machine really gets it done too, right? Now here's something I want to put into your minds. A lot of this comes down to chemistry sometimes too, right? You're weaving a net. Some type of way to securely keep these kids, right? So it can't be just the bus workers on the street. It has to be the Sunday school teachers pulling as well, and sometimes it's other people. And what I've found is when people get a mindset of street fatigue, a lot of times they just tell themselves, those kids don't want to come anymore, or it's not going to happen. I can't break through this, right? That's fine. If they're still being fruitful, other things, shift the equation. So what I do is, for example, I'll take my ZZZ list and I'll organize it. I'll make it in order by the street address, and I'll give it to somebody else completely different. Hey, college and career people, any of you guys want to come out on outreach sometime? I'll give you a very specific assignment. Here's what people are scared of oftentimes when it's hey, come out to outreach. They're scared they're going to get onto the street and be what do I do? Right? And they're just looking around. They don't know what to do. I'll follow you around. And they're following people around and they're I'm watching you knock. Right? And this is seriously. I've had people when the pastor's everyone come out to outreach. Outreach is not a bus responsibility. It's a Christian responsibility. Are you Christians? Yes, we are. You will be at outreach. Yes, we will. Right? And then they get to outreach. They're what do I do? I'll watch you knock. Okay, I'll hold your flyers, right? And they don't engage, right? So I have found I found this true with donations too. Specificity is important, right? Specificity is important. If you're like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come out. I want you to just give me an hour of your time, and I want you to knock these doors and come back and tell me what happened. Are they here? Did they move? Do they want to come back? Sometimes kids, they just needed a break for a little while. And then they come back. They're like, well, yeah, actually, I would like to come back. And it drives the people that work the street crazy when they hear that. They're like, I'm telling you, they told me no. Well, times just changed, right? It's true. Like sometimes it's just like they just like changed their mind, right? So shake it up. Just have somebody else who has a fresh mindset come in and help, right? So I want to give you some ideas on how to do that. So that can be, you know, married couples sometimes will be down for that because it's like that's a nice thing to do, especially if they want to bring kids, if they have kids now and everybody comes together. I've mentioned to you guys about the child effect. You know, having a child with you is serious street cred, right? And kind of like what we were joking around with Yumi and Brother Tyler, Brother Philip, is like, you know, got a child, have a lady with you as well, lots of street cred. Child, lady, grandma with a dog, you know, and a church mascot sweater, ultra street cred, right? There'd just be like people throwing children at you. Take them, we trust you, right? So shift it up. Find ways to get other people involved in the church that can help change the equation. Pitfalls. I had to use that picture. That's like nostalgia from when I was a kid. So yeah, straight up Atari. That was awesome. I loved that thing. I personally loved ET. It was like unintelligible dots on a screen. There's this like weird looking neck thing trying to find a candy bar, you know, but but yeah, you know, like it's like people with Xboxes say, you don't understand. There's no challenge. That's a real challenge right there. Okay, so on to the important stuff. Pitfalls. Here's okay. So real talk now, right? How do you make sure your bus ministry stays healthy? This is tough. Okay, so I'm going to give you some thoughts on where I think it's easy for something to go if you don't watch out, right? So you can keep your eyes open for it. It's easy for anything, Sunday school, bus ministry, ushers, anyone, to become a social club, right? And stop being a ministry. And that's something you got to watch for. And that's really easy to happen amongst teenagers, right? Amongst adults, amongst anyone. And, you know, that can happen if you let it. It has to always be focused on fruit again. It's about the kids. It's about what's happening with them, right? This is natural, right? Like, it's like if you stop being focused outward, what do? You turn inward. What happens when you turn inward? That's when stuff starts going down, right? That's where it's like, you know, we got to stay spiritually healthy. We got to stay focused, always talking about, hey, you know, who's God working on right now? What are we trying to do right now? Like, you know, just keep focused on the streets. Keep focused on that type of stuff. You got to have stuff now, you know, on the flip side of it. There has to be a social component to it. So, like, we do stuff like we'll do beach trips. We'll do, like, barbecues at the church. We'll do other little things and outings and stuff. But watch the balance, right? Because there is that other side of it where it can become a social club. And attitudes, whether you're talking about adults or teens, that's the other area that I would say, you know, in your training, think about that, right? I had some funny situations. Some of these kids are the sweetest kids, but this is the first time they feel like they have power, right? I'm wearing a blue shirt. I can tell teachers what to do. It's like, no, you can't. We are first servant. It doesn't work like that, right? Teachers saying, hey, this kid needs to go somewhere. You help them. And it is an honor, right? We are first servant, right? I mean, gosh, if anybody said that, Jesus said that, right? You know, and we take after his example. When you wear that shirt, you're trying to be more like Jesus, not less, right? Little things like that. Don't let it become a social club. You must always remember it's a ministry and make sure everyone else remembers it's a ministry. This is a tough and kind of uncomfortable one to say, but I'm just going to say it. If you don't watch out, people can use this ministry or children's ministry sometimes to hide from church. Can I just be real with you? Right? Because there's a danger to this, right? You are out of the sanctuary just a little less now. And if you are not prayed up and stayed up in the Spirit, you have one third less preaching than everybody else does. Right? So it's just really important for yourself. I'm in this ministry. I need to stay strong because someone else is depending on my spiritual health for their spiritual health. Right? So this is something you got to really watch out for. How am I doing? How am I doing? Whether I'm a leader, I'm a person on the street, doesn't matter where you are. You got to always ask yourself, how am I doing in the Spirit? How am I doing spiritually right now? Where am I at? Right? That's what I was talking about with that check sheet. It's like a self-examination. How am I doing? Can I be real with you? Right? There's weeks where it's like, you're just like, where's the time? Where's the time go? Right? Adults, where does the time go? Right? You know, like, I wish I prayed more. You know, sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I really need to pray. And I missed it in the morning and the day started. And you've got to have evaluation tools for yourself, right? Because here's the thing. Children's ministry is front line. Youth ministry very much the same way, where you kick the hornet's nest of the devil. You have to be up. Your game has to be strong when it comes to spiritually, right? Last one, last warning sign for you. It is possible to lose focus on souls and only focus on numbers. It's possible, right? You start to get into the double digits, really strong double digits, maybe even triple digits, and you get to that place. Two things happen. You can feel intimidated and overwhelmed, right? And you start to focus more on the whole and not on the individual, right? It's just, I'm corralling cats. I'm just trying to keep them all together. And that's something where, as I mentioned in the check sheet, I ask everybody, pick one. Pick your one kid. They're your one kid this year, and they're your focus. Your job is to figure out, how do I help this kid get to whatever next level they need to in the Spirit, right? They're not baptized. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what to talk about with these kids, right? They do. They did get there. What do they do next? Where can they get plugged in? What can we do with them? How, you know, all those type of things. You have to always make sure that we're still focused on the one. Never stop being focused on the one, right? So those are some of my warnings there on that. Okay, so I'm going to recap. For some of you that were not in that first bus session, you know, here's some ideas, right? Of course, candy rains. Who doesn't like a good candy rain? But another idea is, you know, like park events are really awesome. You know, drop a jumper, drop a grill. You can have yourself a great park event. Another thing is, I mentioned about National Night Out. If there's any community events like that, you're part of the community. You are allowed to be involved. And they're the ones that are driving people to the event anyway, right? At our National Night Out event, we were just a participant, but there were literally hundreds of people that showed up, and the city was the ones that drove them to the event. We just got to participate, and we just made sure that we were involved in it, right? So look for that type of stuff where somebody else is doing the promotion work, and you can, like, dovetail off it. Another thing is, you know, like, just... How do you maintain? How do you keep things going? If you don't have We Miss You cards, get them. Make sure your teachers are filling them out. Make sure your bus workers are filling them out. When they miss a kid, when they knock the door and the kid isn't there, kid might be at the flea market or wherever, right? They're at soccer game, anything, birthday party. Somebody wrote a note, so these kids know, these people follow up with me all the time. They really care about me. Another thing is, you know, like big crazy events, again, big being relative. When I say big event, you know, one of the ones that was fun is, that blue blob there is actually me in a Cookie Monster costume, and, it was super cheap. Jillian, a gal named Jillian, who is over a kidman for, Randy Williams Church, was like, you guys are going to do Cookie Sunday? You got to get a costume for that. So I'm like, all right, sure. She looked up. There was like a costume I could get out of China for like $25. I'm like, okay, sold, right? So, you know, you're walking around on the streets with that stuff on. You're like, you know, you do a fun thing. People do like photo ops and everything. It's just fun. It keeps it fresh, right? So minimum once a quarter, do this type of stuff. If you can do it once a month, awesome. You know, figure out how you can delegate and make that happen. And those are some things there. Something I'll mention is, I mentioned in the first session, but I'll say it again. Events make it easier for people to do outreach, right? You as the leader need to remember that what you're providing is awesome all on its own. But sometimes we forget because we're spoiled by it, right? We're just like, it's like, oh, it's just a jumper and it's just free snacks. And it's just somebody that spent an entire week preparing a lesson, you know? And it's just a whole bunch of people that are spending an hour and a half to 2 hours of their lives every single week, like making sure these kids are loved and cared for. I mean, like, it's not really like we provide anything, right? You know, like, it's like, did you just hear yourself? Right? Right? But that's what we offer, but somehow we downplay it because we do it so much that we forget, right? But you know what? You can only fight that so much sometimes, right? Instead, do an event. That's easy. We're going to do a giveaway. You should know about this. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you're right. You know, and then everybody will get out there and do that. This type of stuff doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. Bonus ideas I mentioned, Superhero Sunday, Let Your Light Shine Sunday was a lot of fun. Christmas stuff, Hot Cheetos. So, as I mentioned, I didn't really get to do much of a Q&A last time. I want to open up some time for that stuff. What are questions that you guys have? Questions. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Okay. I'll do a quick recap. Good question. And with that, I actually have a check sheet for how to start a bus ministry. So I didn't hand that out in the first one. I'll have that on Next Level Kidmin, but I'll also have these available at lunch as well, if you want one. Quick question was, how do you start? So that first session was about that. If you can check out the video, cool. But I'm going to give you a super fast recap. Name of the game is this, right? You get all the stuff in place logistically. You got your vans. You got to talk through with your pastor. You got the insurance stuff. You got the forms and other things like that. Just little things to think about. Go find some kids. How do you find some kids? Go, once you figure out kind of the general area, look for a park in that general area, right? Do something big there. Get a bunch of balloon animals, you know, snacks, candy rains, jumper maybe, that type of stuff. And just be ready to flyer and get your first couple kids. The first five are probably the hardest, right? You get those five kids, again, like I said, follow those rules, you know, have ladies, kids, and puppies or whatever, right? You know, like, it's like, it's a stuff that's just, you can trust us, right? And get the first couple kids. Then you have your beachhead neighborhood, right? And then spread out from there. Start knocking, start finding out who are their friends. When these kids like what you guys do, hey, do you have any other friends that want to come? You know, anything, right? We'll give you and them a bag of hot Cheetos, a big bag of hot Cheetos, right? Or whatever, right? Stuff like that, and it grows and grows and grows. But the first five are kind of the hardest, right? And then you can grow from there. So balloon animals, awesome. If you don't know how to make them, I know a great resource. It's called apostolicsundayschool.com. Pretty cool stuff. Check out the balloon animals there, other great things like that. So other questions? How are we doing on time? How are we doing on time? Okay, we're about done? We're done. All right. I'll take one more question. Anybody else have one more question? If we don't, we'll move on to the rest of our day. One more question. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, are the drivers husband and wife teams? They can be. Somebody else asked me a question earlier about, I joke around about how two guys walking down the street with a bucket of Tootsie Rolls is like ultimate sketchiness and only a panel van short of extreme sketchiness, right? But you know what? If they're driving a van together, it's actually not that weird. You know, it's just like, oh, it's just transportation service. Like, people don't really think about it as much. The important thing is that there's two. Right? So that at all times there's some type of witness that there's no funny business, right? Reality, kids, some of these kids, they could make up stories, right? So you need to protect your teams. So yeah, just make sure there's two. I would say, you know, if there's two guys, that's okay. If it's a husband and wife, that's a nice combo too. All right. Take other questions later. I'll be around. Yeah, exactly. So we're doing a Q&A session at the end of the day here, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up this session. Brother Wilmoth is coming up.
They're already started serving lunch. If it's too full in there, go over to the cafe, okay? Go over to the cafe. Just take your food over there. That's fine, okay? What a great session with Brother Wang. Incredible. Amen. 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 And I would say one more thing. All of our children's workers have background checks. Yes. Yeah. Don't get upset if your pastor demands that you get a background check. And the reason is, it's because your insurance company is probably asking for it. Yeah. And I know for us, we use a company, and it's $12 per background check. So just wanted to let you know about that, and don't get upset at anybody, okay? God bless you. Make sure you can go over into the cafe. If